So it's my hope that everybody had what we've come to know as a Hallmark Christmas, you know, with the perfect tree and the perfect dinner and the perfect gathering of friends and family. It's also my hope that you're able to catch a little bit of the true Christmas spirit from the reminder that this time, this season, should fill us with wonder and awe so strong that it's indescribable. For after all, a child is born for us today. Hallelujah. We have just celebrated and continue to celebrate the birth of our King, Christ Jesus, who came to save us from our sins. We have just celebrated the birth of Emmanuel. God is with us. The incarnation, the glory of the Word becoming flesh, and that God dwelt among us. It fills me with awe when I remember that God became man and walked among us. He felt what we feel, and he became human despite all our faults and failings. Yes, God became human, still chose to become human, as flawed as we are. If you did not have a Hallmark holiday, you know, and maybe you can be comforted by the fact that we are here today worshiping Christ, our true hope, in our communion together. For it is not the things of this world that we have our treasure, but in the things that are eternal. You know, regarding this feast day, most of the images we see of the Holy Family are idyllic, perfect, everything in order. Well, except for maybe, today's gospel reading, things were not exactly in order, you know, because Jesus got lost for 3 days. That wasn't idyllic for Joseph and Mary, I'm quite sure, you know. And they had their own little Amber Alert going. You know, they went from all their relatives to try to find everybody. That's the way it had to work back then. You didn't have TV and radio. So if you lost your kid, there's no store manager you can go find. You know, no Adam Alert. I have to say this story, and my daughter's not in the congregation, so it always terrified us at going shopping because she would love to hide in the clothes, you know, and a little four-year-old can get lost in the clothes pretty easily. So I identify with Joseph and Mary. I can only imagine losing your child for 3 days. So despite that, sometimes we may think that Joseph and Mary were Ozzy and Harriet of their day, you know, I'm quite sure they had their challenges. You know, we think, how could they be anything else but that? You know, they had Jesus as their son. But that version of the Holy Family does not really fit with our reality of human families, that's for sure. Human families are messy. Human families aren't perfect. Human families are often the source of political intrigue. There's dysfunction, hurt feelings, power battles, and feuds that last generations, even in the smallest of families. And if you look at the genealogy of Jesus, you can find some of these characteristics. You know, Jacob was a trickster who, you know, stole his inheritance by tricking his father. And relationships, you know, flawed, immoral relationships like that Judah had. You know, and even Abraham himself was not perfect. Remember Hagar? Clearly, Jesus' extended family was flawed. So what does that mean for our family? Well, first of all, we can see that since no family is perfect, we can perhaps look at our families a little differently today. Just for today, we can look at our families without judgment or expectation. For we are reminded in the second reading that God loves us, and we are called to love one another as he commanded us. And although we are commanded to love, remember, love is a choice. It is our choice to be obedient to the commandment. Acts of love are everywhere in today's readings, starting with Hannah's choice to love God back by returning his gift of love to her in Samuel. She gave it back to him. And as we look at the Holy Family today, we can remember each of their choices to love. In Joseph's case, even though he was helped out by an angel to make his choice, he chose the path of love, the path of being obedient to God by taking Mary and Jesus into his home. He ignored the cost to his social standing and pride. And of course, there was Mary, who uttered the greatest yes. Remember the cost to her for a moment. She did not know what Joseph was going to do. How would her family and her community react to what was happening to her? Still, she chose love. And then, of course, there's a choice of Jesus. His choice to love. For the whole reason we are here today is because of his choice to love us. We are told in 1 John today that we're children of God. What a wonderful thing to be children of God. Now, in reality, we're adopted children of God. God reached out to us and claimed us as his own and made us co-heirs to his kingdom. Any of us who are adopted or have been adopted know that adoptive parents can be truly father and mother in the deepest sense of these words. They are not mere substitutes at all. When we have that kind of experience, we begin to recognize that a holy family is a reality that comes about by the choices of the parents and of the children. The holy family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph is a reality that came into being because of their individual choices to love. Think again about Joseph and Mary's yes to God and how they decided to be Jesus' adopted parents. And while children don't have a choice about what family they're born into, they have, in time, a choice about how to relate to the family in which they are raised. A purpose today of the feast today is to encourage all of us to make good decisions in our lives about the families in which we live. Today's feast is to encourage those who are married to make holy decisions about their relationship and about their family and about how their children and how they're going to raise children. The gospel points out today that in the life of Jesus, Mary and Joseph were watching Jesus just beginning to start making his own decisions. Jesus was starting to discover his path, his call. Notice the gospel words. Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. You know, watching a child choose his or her own path can very much be a challenge for parents. Yet the only way a holy family can continue as a holy family when the children grow up is this respect for the path of the child. Even when children make bad choices, parents must respect their choices, even as they may work to help the child understand that a bad choice is a bad choice, you know, to walk them through that, even if their choices are particularly painful to us. The Book of Wisdom, when it spoke of honoring thy parents centuries ago, recognize that unless we learn to love our mothers and fathers and our children, life will never be all that it's meant to be. Those of us who pray and celebrate in this feast today can desire to love our parents, whether living or dead. And we can desire to love the children in our lives and in our families. These basic relationships of love and respect based in God can form a world that is full of joy and life. Amen.